let us turn in our Bibles to read together God's Word from John chapter 14 as Jesus speaks about His going away. And the disciples are troubled by this, and perhaps we might be as well. At the same time, we must understand that Jesus tells us very clearly it is better for us if He goes. And so it is better for us if Christ ascends into heaven as He does, as we celebrate this day on Ascension Day. We remember that Christ ascended into heaven, and we see that He has sent His Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to us in our passage this morning. The whole of chapter 14 of John, let us read together the word of our Lord. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, how we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by Me. If ye had known Me, ye should have known My Father also, and from henceforth ye know Him, and have seen Him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known Me, Philip? He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of Myself, but My Father that dwelleth in Me, He doeth the works. Believe Me that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me, or else believe Me for the very works' sake. Verily I say unto you, He that believeth on Me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto My Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in My name, I will do it. If ye love Me, keep My commandments, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth Me no more, but ye see Me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in Me, and I in you. He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me. And he that loveth Me shall be loved of My Father, and I will love him, and will manifest Myself unto him. Judas saith unto Him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that Thou wilt manifest Thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love Me, he will keep My words, and My Father will love him. We will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth Me keepeth not My sayings. And the word which ye hear is not Mine, but the Father's which sent Me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved Me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for My Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Thus far the reading of the word of our God, may He add His blessing to it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at this passage of Scripture, as we said, the disciples are fearful when Jesus tells them that He is going someplace else. And so Jesus tells them about the sending of the Holy Spirit as well. This sending of the Holy Spirit has been written about throughout the Old Testament. The promise of the new heavens and the new earth is also written out throughout the Old Testament. And Christ is reminding His disciples and us of the gracious, the wondrous grace that He has to us in Christ Jesus, preparing a place for us in His Father's house. And so He says to His disciples and to us this evening that it is better for Him to ascend into heaven, that it is for our good that He will send the Holy Spirit and has sent the Holy Spirit. And so we rejoice in the ascension of Christ. Having conquered death, having conquered hell, He ascends into heaven to glory, to the right hand of God. And it provides for us eternal comfort in that fact. That's the theme that we want to see this evening. Christ's ascension provides believers with eternal comfort. Christ's ascension provides believers with eternal comfort. First of all, in verses 1 through 7, we see that we have comfort and eternity with Christ. Second of all, in verses 8 through 21, we see that receiving Christ is receiving God. In verses 22 through 25, we see that on this earth, Jesus showed the Father. And in verses 26 through 31, we see that the Holy Spirit continues Jesus' teaching upon this earth. So first of all, we have comfort in eternity in Christ. Christ's ascension provides believers with eternal comfort. We read in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled." This is a response to the previous chapter, verse 36 of the previous chapter. Simon Peter said unto Him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Christ, of course, is speaking of His ascension. And He tells Peter that he will follow Him afterward, and we, by God's grace, will follow afterward when Christ returns. He promises already here that we will follow. John 16:22. "Therefore, ye now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." We have a joy that no one can take from us. We have eternal comfort, as Jesus states in our passage, which is beyond any comfort, any peace that this world can give to us. Believing in Jesus Christ is believing in God, for they are the one true God, along with the Holy Spirit, together, three in one. Christ promises that He is preparing a place for us. "In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwellings. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Christ is preparing a place for us. Matthew 25:34. "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That is the final blessing of Christ upon believers upon this earth, as in the judgment He brings us to eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5:1. "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." We will be reunited with Christ. "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." And He tells us later on that we will follow Him, and we looked at that already in verse 36 of the previous chapter. We will be received by Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. We have the wondrous promise of eternal life in Christ Jesus. And this is focused for us as we consider Christ's ascension this evening. We are to go where Christ is. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. That where I am, verse 3, there ye may be also. We are going to heaven bodily. Job says, about the time of Abraham that we've been looking at on Sundays, Job 19:26, and after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. In my flesh. Though my skin is destroyed, one of the last things to decompose in the ground is our skins. In our flesh, we shall see God. Acts 1:11, at Jesus' ascension, who also said, men of Galilee, the angels said, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. How do we know the way? The disciples, Thomas asks. Later on, Philip asks. Thomas saith unto him, verse 4, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And both of these disciples, Jesus gives a pretty tough time about this, questioning and not knowing. Jesus has said again and again throughout his whole ministry that he was going to come to this earth, that he came, he gave his life, and he was going to rise the victor over the death and ascend into heaven. That was part of Jesus' preaching from day one. John 11:25-26, one example, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So how do we know the way? We are to come to the Father through Jesus Christ. The way is through Christ. Jesus saith unto him, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way to heaven. Hebrews 10:19-20. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Jesus is the way to heaven. He is the truth, he says. John 18:37. Pilate therefore said to him, you are a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Paul witnesses to this fact that he is the life, Romans 5:21. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to eternal life. And so as Christ ascends into heaven, as we consider and remember that he did this in glory, in victory over death and over our sins, we remember that he is the way to heaven, he is the truth, and he is the life. And so no one comes to the Father but through me, Jesus says. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. We come to the Father through him. John 10:7-9, Jesus said unto them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. We know that Christ is knowing the Father. Lord, show us the Father, Philip says, verse 8, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Again and again, Jesus had taught this already Yet this too is the question that is related by Philip in the next verses. John 8, verse 19. Then he said unto them, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father as well. John 10:30. I and my Father are one. Verses 37 and 38 of chapter 10 of John. If I do not the works of my Father, do not believe in me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in Him. And so as we look at Christ, we have comfort in eternity in Christ. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is preparing a place for believers in the new heavens and the new earth. Now as we turn to verses 8 through 21, we see that receiving Christ is receiving God. Christ witnesses that He is God. He said this already. Philip saith unto Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? John 12:45. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. Again, Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And so Christ witnesses that He is God. He says, I'm He. Again, His works show us that He is God. Verse 11, very clearly, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these he shall do, because I go unto my Father. Jesus' works show that He is God, the power of God. And we see the Holy Spirit working salvation, the power of God through the gospel, as Paul calls the gospel, the power of God in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. We must understand that Christ is God. Jesus' works show that He is God. We receive the true God, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God gives the disciples power. As we read in verse 12, the works that I do, He shall do also, and greater works than these He shall do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now Christ is speaking to the disciples here about these works. And they did do mighty works in his name. John 10:17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And again in Acts, the disciples do mighty works in Christ's name. This power was to demonstrate that their message was different than all other religions. We now have the Bible. 1 Corinthians 14 tells us that tongues and miracles will cease. And so we have the demonstration, and we are to know whether or not I'm preaching the Word of God by knowing the Bible, not by what miracles I do, because you're not going to see me do any. So Christ is speaking to the disciples. This power was to demonstrate that their message was the truth of God. We remember the Bereans in Acts 17, verse 11. The Bereans searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. This must be our test when we hear teaching and preaching. Does it agree with the Scripture? The Holy Spirit works that to understand and to believe. We must understand the power of prayer as well. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now Christ promises a helper to the disciples. As Christ ascends into heaven, not long there following is Pentecost. And we will celebrate that in a few weeks. Christ promises the Holy Spirit, the helper, verse 15 through 18. Loving Christ, he says, means keeping his commandments. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The helper will help us in obedience to God. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. 1 John 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. The Holy Spirit comes and helps us with that. John 15, 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. The unbelieving world cannot receive the Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world, verse 17, cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive, is given to believers, to Christians. And so we are to know Christ, to know the Helper, and the Helper guides us into all truth. Verses 19, we have life in Christ. Yet a little while in the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I and you in you. We have life in Christ. Now Christ, we see here, and we see throughout Scripture, is not physically in the world, yet spiritually he is in the world. John 16, 22. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Christ ascends bodily into heaven. We read in Acts 1, 9, now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Loving Christ means keeping his commandments, even though he's gone. Even though, as he promises the disciples, he has ascended into heaven. It doesn't mean we just slough back. 1 John 2, verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. And so we have the word of Christ. We have the truth that Christ is God. And on this earth, Jesus showed the Father. Verses 22 through 25. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How are you going to manifest differently to different people? Jesus states that we, that is God, will make their home with us, with believers. Notice the plural in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus is speaking, of course, of the Trinity, of his place in the Trinity. 2 Corinthians 6:16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And so the love of God is an effect of true belief. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We hold fast to his word. We are saved by his grace. And we rejoice in his ascension into heaven. Jesus said, Luke 6, verse 46, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Jesus says this a number of times in our passage this evening. He's not going to leave us comfortless. But he that hath my commandments, verse 21, and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is mine, not mine. but the Father's which sent me. The love of God is an effect of true belief. It is God's work. God worked. Jesus said, Luke 6:46, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say?" Disobedience to Christ, he's going to get to that more fully in the next chapter, is evidence that we don't truly love him. We are of ourselves spiritually dead. We cannot do anything good of ourselves. Romans 10:3-12, as it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one." We need the power of the Holy Spirit working in us to raise us from that spiritual death. We can't do it of ourselves. Ephesians 2:1-3, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world." He made us alive. We don't walk of ourselves. Jesus showed himself on earth, and that those who truly love God believe on him. And so the Holy Spirit continues Jesus' teaching. We see Christ upon this earth. We see the grace of God sending him. We see his conquering death and hell. We see his ascension on high, having led captivity captive. And we look at the Holy Spirit now, which he sends, which he promises in verses 26 through 31. The Holy Spirit is sent by the Father in Jesus' name, verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Not teaching something new or different, but teaching what Christ has taught. Bringing to remembrance what Christ has taught. 1 Corinthians 2:13, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches." Comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Thus, things to be said of the Holy Spirit are in line with what the Scripture says. He will teach us all things. He will bring to remembrance all things that I have said to you. 2 Peter 1:16, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." They were eyewitnesses of Christ, yet sometimes we forget things that we've seen with our eyes. And so the Holy Spirit works through them to cause them to remember perfectly what had happened and to write it down for the Bible for us to have. And so we have before us the eyewitness account of Christ, of his life, of his death, of his ascension into heaven, that he sits at the right hand of God, that he comforts us eternally. And so we have not fear in Christ's ascension to heaven, but we have hope. "Peace I leave with you," verse 27, "my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." Christ returns to heaven, and it is for our good and for his glory. Jesus has been saying regularly in the previous chapters of John that he is going to a place where they cannot now follow to heaven, but that they will follow someday. This departure seems to have troubled the disciples, and perhaps troubles us here. And Jesus comforts them here in our passage this evening. "I am going away," he says. He is going to the Father, he says, "who is greater than I." Now, Jesus is not somehow lesser God, but this is how God works. They have different offices. Just as women and men have different offices in the world, one is not lesser and one greater. God the Father sends the Holy Spirit in the name of Christ. for comfort, for sanctification, for redemption, for reminder of the truth, for opening of the Scriptures to us. We must understand that the Scripture tells us that He will open that which we have, bearing witness to the truth. He sanctifies us. He cleanses us, causes us to live according to God's Word, according to His will, as we've been seeing in our passage. He who loves me keeps my commandments, Jesus says again and again here. We need that work of the Holy Spirit. We need to have our begin in this life to live obedience to God's commandments out of thanksgiving. We must see that God sends the Holy Spirit, and we cannot believe without Him working in us. We saw earlier that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Does a dead person get up and walk by themselves? No way. We need the Holy Spirit working in us. We must desire that scriptural balance of that work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works hope in Christ's return. I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, He says, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father. Jesus' ascension has many benefits for His people. He goes to prepare a place for us. He intercedes with the Father for us. Jesus sends His Holy Spirit into our hearts. And so we have hope. We have peace instead of fear and terror in this world and in the machinations of men upon this world. We have great peace. Even as we consider Christ ascending into heaven, Jesus teaches us, hence after verse 30, I will not talk with you much, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise, let us go hence. Jesus teaches us that He is going someplace else. Jesus had spent much of His time speaking to the disciples. Now His time has come, He says in verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk with you much. Jesus is, of course, here speaking of the payment He must make, overcoming Satan, paying God for our debt of sin, redeeming us from sin. As Christ goes to the cross, He's not only speaking here of a little time, He's telling us that He is going to the Father. Let not your heart be troubled. Perhaps we might say, you know, it'd be nice if Jesus were here now. We might know what better to do in this world. Well, Jesus, in response to that sort of idea, said, they will not believe even if someone rises from the dead. And there are many who do not. We have to understand that. It is by the mere grace of God that we believe in Jesus Christ. As we look at Him in our passage this evening, we see His perfect life. As He did exactly what the command of God was. Verse 31, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. And as we consider Christ's ascension into heaven, perhaps we might be concerned, thinking, it'd be better if He was here. But brothers and sisters, Jesus says that it is better for us if I go, because we have the Holy Spirit working in us. Now, if we consider the history of the world, it's something we don't totally understand. But having the Holy Spirit is beyond anything we could ever imagine. You realize that in the Old Testament and up until Pentecost, people didn't have the Holy Spirit all the time. And He came and went from people. And so as Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, it is a marvelous, a gift that we cannot overestimate. Because we have the Holy Spirit working in faith in our hearts every moment of every day. And that is the promise that Jesus gives. He gives to us the promise of eternal comfort. as he promises ascension, as he promises that he is going to prepare a place for us, he promises the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. And brothers and sisters, that is God dwelling in you and me, a comfort beyond anything I could even begin to describe. And so, brothers and sisters, Christ's ascension provides believers with eternal comfort. Be not troubled, but rejoice, for he has ascended on high. Amen.